The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. The gang is here for Age of Sigmar Mondays.
Hello, welcome to Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Monday night Age of Sigmar with the boys. Yeah, with the guys, with the lads. I apologize for us being late. It was all my fault and the internet's fault. But I'm joined by three wonderful, gorgeous men. I'm still hanging out in my hamlet, if you guys have just seen where I am now. I'm hanging out in a village. I'm joined by Mr. Nathan, don't call me Destruction, Prescott.
Hello.
How are you, Nathan?
I'm good. My arms are a bit floppy today, actually. Been concreting.
So explain to me concreting. Are you putting concrete down or are you lifting concrete up? Or some other form of concreting I don't understand?
No. I had to move some old concrete and then put some new stuff. So, yeah, I was putting it down and up.
Down and up? Interesting. Yeah. Hold on. I've got you in twice, Nath. 1 second.
Not up, then down.
There we go. I've sorted it out. Apologies. This fucking disaster today. I'm also joined by Meg's boyfriend down below. Hey, Meg's boyfriend, how you doing?
I'm good, Meg. You're an idiot. How are you? Also, where are you? That's an interesting background.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, you'll notice every week now that I'm going to change my name and potentially where I'm located in the world. Right now, I'm in an antiquated village. I decided earlier on the Stream Street show that I think I'd like to be like a meat pie manufacturer in a small village, you know. Dan, you've got something to say about that.
Well, yeah, no, I just want to confirm because I'm pretty sure I saw Sweeney Todd, so I assume that all British meat pies are made out of people. And I just want to confirm that is going to be the case because I'm not interested in them if they're going to be made out of animal product. I would like to make sure that they're made out of the most desirable politicians you can get your hands on.
I don't know if you've been keeping track, but there's loads of really weak, hungry children around the UK at the moment, and I'm just going to pick them off and put them in pies. They're like, they could barely defend themselves at this point, which is... they're not strong enough to even lift it. They're not even strong enough to lift their arms is the key part. Also, the Tories are monsters, and they should all be... there's some other strong words for that. Dan, how are you? Are you well?
I'm good. I've been diving back into hobbying. I've been just generally doing things, and I've been starting to receive some of the Amazon orders that I placed while very drunk.
I forgot.
Large, interesting week. Yep.
What did you get?
So far, drunk Dan bought me some brushes,
nice.
A couple of pairs of suspenders.
I'd like to know how that came up.
A cutting mat. And a pop filter,
are those suspenders for your undergargants?
They will be as soon as someone pulls his finger out. As soon as Meg's boyfriend gets his shit together and gets us undergargants, I'm ready for them.
Got the suspenders ready. You got a suspender belt thing as well. Like,
are you gonna make like a full BDSM gargant? Because I'm so in. I'm in for that. In such a big way.
You could do, you know, what's the one with the mask on his head? Right. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. Reverse suspenders.
Oh, so you're thinking, you're talking like you wear with trousers suspenders, like braces.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm thinking hold-ups.
Oh, yeah, they're different things.
Oh. Oh, Dan, you've got me, like, real excited. Like, do you know where our head was at? Do you know,
no, I don't. And this is
Google
like when I
move. Suspenders. That's what you should
do. Yeah, well, not right
Google
now.
Suspenders. But make all sure right. You have a work computer.
Here we go. British suspenders.
I also, what was the third thing you said you brought? Because that one I got confused at.
A pop filter for a microphone.
I thought it was like a pop filter. So you look.
You know what? All I'm saying is that the suspenders that I'm seeing, that's exactly like Googling the. Okay, wait, there we go.
There we go.
It was nowhere near the top of the search icons. I just want you Muppets to know. Okay. It was quite far down until I got to the shoddily drawn, I don't know, something that holds up.
Jim, Rob, and Nathan have drawn them. Put them in just so you make sure you saw them.
So the two versions of suspenders that people are either picturing is like a Cockney fella walking down the road trying to like get your apples and pies, or a scantily clad, well, Rocky Horror Picture Show style Gargan, and both work for me, to be honest.
Well, my idea was to get the Gargan now with the leather daddy mask, mm-hmm. and then put the, like, and I'm talking trouser suspenders here. Okay. And then attach them to the mask and then loop them down through his crutch. So it's kind of like a Borat mankini that keeps his mask on.
A Borat mankini. Yeah, see, I'm really into that. I also, Nathan, let's represent for all our kinky brothers and sisters out there. Are you telling me that you wouldn't want to paint up like a kink-based Age of Sigmar army? And then if anyone said anything about the tabletop, you'd be like, you know, these guys eat brains. You know, these other guys literally flay bodies and pin them to trees. What's wrong with wearing like a pair of kinky leather pants?
Yeah. Or just some thigh high boots and little bra and two stabby knives or whip and a mask. Oh, that's Daughters of Cain.
Daughters of Cain.
I should get that army.
You should get that army. Also, big news.
This is a slaughter.
Big news, I've just had a WhatsApp off Meg. She said her boyfriend's not allowed to talk about this, so we are going to move on from this subject. That's really important. But are you all well, is the question. Are you all well? Twitch chat, are you all well?
Yes.
I was waiting to see who you asked first. Yeah, we're good. Okay. Apart from I'm worried about the fact you're turning children into meat pies.
That's very concerning for me, yes.
Well, fucking little shit's got nothing else to do, have they? Like, I've run out of jam sandwiches to make them. I've already made 400 jam sandwiches. How many more do you want me to make? Like, I'm knackered. That's all I've been doing all day.
That's what the kids were supposed to be doing, making stuff. Kind of build things.
Okay, do you want to put me into labor camps?
Right, make you're a monster. Shoes or something.
Right, okay. Honestly, though, it's obviously not funny, and those people are monsters, and we should eat them. Right, let's move on. Today's show is meant to be about being demotivated in the hobby. Be demotivated in the hobby because, obviously, the Rona, lockdown, not being able to go to tournaments. So I'm going to ask my co-hosts a bunch of questions about how they've been feeling. We're going to give you our honest answers. Like, it's a kind of way of like making you feel like, oh yeah, I feel those feelings too. That kind of makes sense. And then we're going to talk about things that we're going to try and do in the future to make ourselves feel like more motivated or better. Not forgetting, obviously, you don't have to produce anything. It's a myth perpetuated by the bourgeoisie that you have to be productive at all. You can just live and just be zen and chill, of course. So never forget that and never buy into that mythos. First off, James, this is your bag. You suggested this, so talk to me about your hobby. How has your hobby been during the lockdown?
Pretty pants. So I think we talked about it the other day, didn't I? Because I would say normally so last year and the year before I probably painted 3 or 4 Age of Sigmar armies, rather than this year where I've painted probably about 12 models. I think. So at the beginning of lockdown, I was quite good. So when things were first locked down, obviously, I was like, oh, loads of time to paint. Didn't really paint anything.
That's what I told myself as well.
Yeah.
And can I get an amen in the chat if that was also you? Because that wasn't
I also
me,
told
but...
myself I was going to get fit and exercise a lot more. Amen in the chat if you also did that.
So I was good, right? So I did the fitness thing. So I brought a bike, cycled loads. That was really healthy and good. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, on the flip of that, there was just me kind of like, oh, for the first time ever, like, I know I want Lumineth. And I know they're coming out. And I'm going to buy them. And I'm going to paint them. I'm going to enjoy painting them. And then next, like, time I get to go to an event, which I thought would be about this time of year, they'll all be ready, done, painted, and I can just rock up to an event and not be basing models on a car park. Which I did want to do.
Usually for me, it's base rims. I actually can't remember a tournament I've gone to where I didn't like have to put like a little pot of one paint and a paintbrush in a thing and be like, I'll just, when I get there, I'll do it. And then I get there and I'm like, let's go drinking. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then the night, the morning before I ever wake up a couple of hours early or that night at like 3 a.m., I'm still painting the base rims being like, fuck you, past Dan.
My worst before tournament of basing experience wasn't even really mine, if I'm allowed to share it. What happened was, is we were going to do coverage at the Facehammer event last year, and then Donal Taylor was borrowing elements of my Seraphon army to put with his Gotrek. I was like, oh, they might need a bit of basing work, not loads. Him and Benjamin Sava then sat at the event on the Friday basing it, where I got a constant critique of Donal, who, I don't know if you've kept abreast, doesn't really cut the corners with his critique anyway. And also Benjamin Sava, who's a professional painter of some note, yeah? And just constant criticism for several hours while I was setting up a show, which was worse. Like, that was worse than doing it myself. But anyway, that was mine. Sorry, James, you were saying.
No, so that was it. So really, I think I've achieved not a lot. Then as we kind of went, like, laxer as a country and we could do more, I played some 40K with Nick Thompson, so did some custodes. That was, I guess, more exciting. So what we were doing was buying models based on dice rolls and then randomly playing with armies that dice decided. So that was quite fun. So I was painting maybe like one box every 2 weeks, I think. So it was super easy. And then obviously as it got stricter again, I've done less and less. But this week I'd had some models come. So some custos that I fancied doing. I've had a bit of a house tidy out. So my airbrush is now set up in the garage. And that motivated me to base spray a load of custodes with a load of paint that we talked about.
All right, you're blowing the lead. You're blowing the lead. We're starting with where we were at, and then we'll be going to where we're going.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
Okay. All right, but would you say generally, like, less motivated?
Literally almost nothing.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Nathan, do you mind if I ask you? Like, how have you... No, you've worked full time. Like, as I'm sure most people have worked full time, but like you always work super hard anyway. But like, how would you say your motivation and hobby has been over the Rona times?
So yeah, at the beginning, I'll say amen as well. I didn't paint much at the beginning, but then I started off painting the Caradron Overlord, little Caradron Overlord force. Mm-hmm. And then since then, I just sort of carried on plodding on. So just doing a couple of models at a time and finishing off stuff that I had. So I had like quite a few squigs that were almost complete. They were about 92.3% done. And so I finished those off, the other 7 point whatever. And then... yeah, and just other things. So finished all my squigs. Then I had a unit of Boingrot Bounders that I finished off. And yeah, so yeah, at the beginning. So I'd say the first 3 months, maybe 2-3 months of the...
Because it's been 7 months now, to keep everyone abreast of where we're at, because some people I know might have lost track, but it's been about 7 months roughly, with places like Italy maybe... it's been about 8 or 9 months for them, but for the UK at least, and I don't know where else you're based from, it's been about 7 months. Sorry, Nathan, just thought I'd throw that in there for some context.
Yeah, so I must say one thing that's helped me is actually I've been using some of the contrast paints.
Really?
And, I've really enjoyed painting with those. Just to get some bright colors down, really, with them. I really like the blue. What's it called? Talisar blue.
So, what have you been? Have you been using it as contrast, like with that sort of the spray that they give you?
I've not used any of that Wraithbone spray stuff. I've been sort of modifying it.
You've been what, sorry? Oh, no. A classic.
Oh, no, Nathan.
Classic knife.
I think he said modifying it. Maybe he's been using his spit as an undercoat.
I'm pretty sure he said drinking it, which is, that's the most like logical thing. And I actually could see his constitution being able to handle the toxic elements of a resin paint. So, you know what? That's all right.
Obviously not that we advocate for that. Also, yes, some F's in the chat for Nathan.
Definitely no.
Oh, Nathan. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I back?
I didn't
even know I was on. I've been watching myself all the while.
Sorry, you were saying that you like Talithazar Blue. You weren't using Wraithbone spray.
Yeah, I didn't use the Wraithbone spray, but I've been using the colors as like base coats. I've been doing like heavy dry brushes with whites and stuff like that to give you the highlights that come underneath. So but I did when I went to that little one day, I did get a can of Wraithbone. So I'm looking forward to using it and trying it out with that, because obviously that's the way they were meant to be. But for instance, like these Stormcast Griff dudes, Paladors or whatever they're called. I've used some of the Talithazar Blue on the Griff Charger, and then I'm doing a black ink over the top of that, so that like a bluey black Griff Charger. But I've done that on a base of Xandri Dust with a black wash over it.
So it's slightly darker.
Yeah, because I'm going for like very like stealth fighters, so they're all the Griff Chargers are like Batman.
That's cool.
Stormcast Batman, that's fun.
I dig that.
Because I'm Batman.
There's some hello to everyone who joins in the chat, by the way. Like I see AD Tom, Sufflin, Hawkeye, Fluxy Walker, Dreadwoods, MJ Pegasus, big love, Jog PLC. Nath, we're gonna get to why you're painting Stormcast in a moment, I think, because I think a lot of people will be very concerned that the champion of destruction is painting up the Goldie Boys. But would you say keeping your motivation didn't struggle, basically? It did at the start, and then you managed to rebound your way.
Yeah, at the beginning, but then once I just started, it's like with most things, once you start, then it's fine. But it's actually starting is the problem.
I would agree with that.
That's a thing I've always struggled with, is starting.
Oh. Not finishing.
Finishing is fine. I can finish strong. Starting.
Dan, what about you? How have you found your motivation during the 7 months?
Well, yeah, I came in hot and excited. I only had a very brief little break during the Coco Vovo because I got sent back to work, which was devastating for everybody. But I definitely did nothing or very little. And then I got some of the pointy elves, and I got very excited for them for a couple of weeks, but then I kind of petered out again. Honestly, I lost all motivation to do anything. And I did very little hobby for a very long time. And it took me a long time to kind of get myself back into a spot where I was. And yeah, so I would say that I hit my hobby rock bottom. I did less hobby than I have done in a very, very, even when I was insanely busy and working two jobs, did more hobby than I've done during COVID, where I can't do anything outside of it. So, I think I definitely lost motivation. I was like, you know, like when you go like finish work or you make all these plans to go and meet people and you're like, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to be social. And then the time comes and you're just like, oh, I forgot that when I finish work, I hate human beings and I don't want to be anywhere near them. And then you kind of either you go and you realize, oh, actually, this is a lot of fun. I'm glad I got past that. I think that's where I was at. I was at that moment. I just finished work. I was getting all the messages being like, hey, come and meet us. We're at blah, blah. And I was like, oh, shit, I promised to do that. And then just looking at a night of having to socialize and being like, there is nothing like inserting fire ants into an orifice of my body would be more exciting than this. That's where I was at for my hobby motivation, roughly, I'd say a couple of weeks back.
Okay, that's completely fair. I understand that. I do. I'm going to ask you both, you three again, a series of questions, so I'll go through it. Just myself, it's been a very busy 7 months, and also not. Obviously, I lost the DJing job. That's a pretty big deal. All the events that we had planned slowly were like, we were working towards, so there's lots of work being done like behind the scenes to get all that up and running, and then it was like slowly they got ticked off one at a time, and then they didn't happen. It was like, oh, and then it was like, okay, well, we'll just do the TSN. That's the plan. Sorry, not TSN. We'll just do the Super Series. So then that was a lot of like prepping and planning. And then because I lost a load of work, I felt like obviously this is, and I was doing the stream streak as well, which sometimes is like a, like quite daunting. Some days it's not. It depends. Like it's taken a toll some days, but most of the time I've loved it. Like absolutely. And then there was all that, and then we got the venue ready in like quite a short space of time. So that was a lot of work on top of doing the Super Series and everything else. So I've been fairly lucky in that, like, obviously getting to talk about the hobby every day has kept me fairly motivated with the hobby every day, I guess. And then like even like talking about events, like doing the event results show, like today, a little bit of a. If you guys didn't listen to the show earlier today, I talked about four actually. There's a Stormcast list, Nathan, that ended up going for. Winning for doing a draw, and it had like some weird allies in and a Gav bomb, but not Sequiturs, Evocators. It was like 2017. It was great. And then there was a Iron Jaws list, the one I've been talking about, Nath, run by Mitch McCowan, which had like 2 blocks of 8 Iron Guts, 6 in Winterbite, and that ended up going for winning 4 and losing 1. So that was super cool. And then there was this is for Dan and Meg's boyfriend. In this situation, there was a Lurith Robelords list that won an event in France. It had 70 Sentinels, and me and the boys in the show today, we ran the math. That 70 Sentinels does 24 mortal wounds if you do not get rerolls to hit, but it does 39 mortal wounds to a unit at 36 inches if you do get the rerolls to hit on that unit. So that's quite fun. If you guys ever want some horrific mortal wounds.
I don't think I want to paint that many archers.
I don't think anyone does. I don't think anyone
does. I'm taking 10 in my list. 10. That's okay. It.
Well, see, me and Dave specifically, but I think me and most of the chat, Gitly big up, Hawkeye big up, just generally any of the Stream Street bros, we've basically said if you take any more than 40, then you're being that guy. But if you're taking just 40, it's just like he's only got 40 Sentinels. That's how you say it. Like, how many Sentinels? Only 40. That's fine. It's completely okay.
Bugger off. That's like Mortec crawlers. Like, how many has he got? He's only taking 1. Oh, only 1. How considerate.
What a nice chap he must be.
What a not piece of shit person. No, I'm sorry. I like the Mortec crawlers when it's like, oh yeah, I'm only like, or when it was like, oh, it's Petrifex, but I'm not taking Nagash. I'm like, oh, so you're just going to slap me around and call me a dirty whore, but you're not going to spit on me. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Anyway, listen, if you take any less than 50, so if you're only taking 40, you're fine. It's not a drama. But my point was, is that being able to be involved in the hobby, having people like Smorgan and Darren and all the great guests that I've had on the show who've been excited about their armies has really kind of kept some level of motivation for me, as well as like tracking event results and seeing what's been going on around the world. And then organizing the Super Series, that's also been really exciting. That gave like me loads of hobby mojo. But I always felt guilty about doing any hobby because I felt like I wasn't doing any actual work, because it's just something, like, even though obviously I Warhammer for work, like I felt like painting wasn't really, like, I'm not, no one's watching me paint, right? Let's be real. No one's signing up to, God, they should.
New show.
New show. Anyway, and so, but it has waxed and waned because life has also been fairly difficult over the past 7 months for a variety of reasons. So it's sometimes difficult to keep up with a hobby if it's your, if you have to motivate yourself to do it. And normally tournaments were my motivation. I was lucky enough to be able to play a game with Nathan yesterday, which was great. And then that encouragement. And then today, because I listened to the Events Resort show, I got super into this Gorefist army, which was loads of piggies, which I loved. And then me and Nathan, listen, I've got the best service in the world. I get to ask Nathan Prescott for destruction lists, and he sends me lists. Like, it's the best. It's the best. I was thinking maybe we set up a coaching service for Nathan, where people can send in lists, and then he can kind of critique them and, like, fix them. But I imagine all he'll actually do is, like, what do you think of my Cities of Sigmar list? And then he'll just send you back an Iron Jaws list. So it just won't really be what you want.
Or it's just he sends you a net. Like, he just puts a net in a small parcel and sends it to you. And you're like, what do you think of this? Oh, my gosh, he went old school, like snail mail. Maybe he put it on a scroll. Maybe this is going to be really cool. It's a fishing net again. It's a fishing net.
Anyway, yeah, absolutely. So that was a pain. I think that's a service people would take. Just take more netters. That's all they'd ever do. So that's been my journey with it, really. And I've also really enjoyed the game of 40K. The rules, my motivation, I'm lucky enough to at least have thought about this. My motivation is normally I get excited about some rules and build an army that does a thing or achieves a thing. And then I build and paint an army to go and do that thing. That's the thing that's exciting. Like, I like pink horrors exploding. Other people might not, but it makes me laugh. Like, I don't know what it is. I used to have, I had a 30K army as well, where I had loads of tech thralls. I had 80 of them, right? And they suck. Like, they're super shit, Dan. Like, they're the worst. But they were so cheap. They were like 2 points each. And my friend used to use Blood Angels, and he would go in with some assault, Marines. But they were they didn't have enough attacks to get through how unbelievably tough this really crap unit was. And so sometimes he'd lose two Marines to me losing eight tech thralls. Yeah. And then I'd be like, how much are they? They're 20 points each. And I'd lost 8 points of shit dudes. And for some reason, that makes me laugh. Like the 300 Noblar list, that shit gets me tingly. I'm like, what did you die to? It's just little fucking green dudes throwing rubbish at me. I find that hilarious.
That was Warhammer Fantasy. I played Skaven, and I did exactly the same thing. It was an army of Skaven slaves that I would just... And, I honestly had to... My deployment was about how do I fit all of these units in my deployment zone. That was my problem. And then I remember this is when Nagash first came out. I threw a unit of Skaven slaves into him and did 2 wounds in combat with Skaven slaves to Nagash. Yep. And moral victory won. He killed the whole unit, and I was like, cool, that's 40 points. And I did 2 wounds to Nagash. So, and in the end, I eventually, just by throwing wave after wave of Skaven slaves at him, killed Nagash with Skaven slaves and a couple of magical zaps from Thankwall.
You can't even get Skaven slaves now, can you?
No, which is a shame, because they were hilarious. They were the best. And then at the end of the game, just looking at my opponent's broken face because Nagash, Supreme Lord, had butchered lots of slaves, but had ultimately killed less than a quarter of his points. And it was the most satisfying Warhammer Fantasy. I played a lot of dwarves, and I had a lot of wonderful moments with dwarves. One where one dwarf warrior beat and then chased down a unit of 40 gores with a character and a BSB in it. That was really satisfying. Shout out to the lovely Gabe back in Australia for when that happened. But that Skaven slaves killing Nagash, still my favorite moment.
Just quick side note, I pulled off the best joke of all time today. Gabe on Facebook, now you're just bringing him up, posted, does anyone need any tiling work? Oh, no, does anyone know any tilers around the local area? Gabe, obviously spelled it T-I-L-E-R-S, was looking for people to put tiles up in a home, I think, or do some work. I just tagged all of the tilers, T-Y-L-E-R, that I knew from around the world. And they just voice noted Gabe, I'm a genius, and they just left the conversation. It's brilliant.
Has he replied?
No, none of them replied. Tyler Mengel, I put him in it. It was amazing. Anyway.
Fantastic.
Right, but no, so my motivation is almost always some rules get me excited, and then I want to go play an army. That's generally how... do you guys know where your motivation comes from? Same questions to Twitch chat. James, do you know what motivates you to actually get stuff on the table?
I think so. Like, I think looking at it now, probably more events, because that's probably where I do my majority of playing these days. So I think, like, having painted that whole 40k army, like, I did it to play, because it almost pains me to play with grey plastic. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, physically actually getting to play the game is probably my key motivation to actually bothering to do it. Because I've basically got two armies downstairs that I've barely put a brush to for 7 months. And so I think, like, actually having the chance to be like, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to use this is the reason to do it for me. Whereas when I started back in the hobby, I painted just to paint and I didn't even play. So I think for me, part of it now comes from, it's almost like playing after is the reward I get from painting it all, if that makes sense.
I get it. Yeah, absolutely. Reading what everyone in the chat is saying. Piss Poor General says, I'm all about helping other people play. Love running events and organizing those. I can definitely see that as a reason to be motivated. My motivation, says Stufflin, is being bored on work and having too much time to think. Then it's knocked back out of me by being knackered by the time I get home. And that can be really hard as well. I think one of the difficult parts about the motivation sometimes that you need to achieve is that you do have to be at your location with your paints, you know. Yeah. Although I've seen people paint in all manner of places. Big shout out to Graham, who paints in his bed.
Yeah,
he does.
Black guys.
I would, however, just because it's come up and it's reminded me of something, have just seen that Adam Jackson on YouTube has sent a little thing that says, "I'm forgetting all the objective markers." And I did want to share with the chat today that when I checked the parcels this morning and sent a bunch out, the store had sent out 969 parcels.
Yes. That's
great. And I
even
took a photo so I could share it.
Oh, that's excellent. I really want... That's great.
One more.
Cancelled. Shop shut, guys.
Yep. Well, the shop is shut until we get some fucking undergargants. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. 69 undergargants.
It was Marcus Rock. Your order was in the bunch.
Nice. Also, I've just realised in the chat that Stufflin, who I've been calling Stufflin for literally years, is actually Stu Flynn. That makes way more sense.
Oh. I prefer Stufflin. Let's leave
I prefer Stufflin. That's way better. Yeah. Keep going. We need to sell 6,969 is the true number we need to sell, James.
But that's also, like, in the chat, you've got yes me at balls. And I feel like we would never want to get these things right, or we'd ruin it.
All right. So Dan, where's your motivation come from?
Routine. To be really actually quite stupid and basic about it. I wanted to do hobby in the same way that I was. It's really something I quite find really, really enjoyable. And I hadn't been to it. A big part for me is routine, and a big part for me is playing games. Not even necessarily tournament, but like games and being around other hobbyists, because that's what excites me to do it, is being around people. And then the routine of it is what gets me to keep doing it. So those were the two things I needed to fix. I needed to get more hobby business and then get more actual Daniel do the work now. And I think that's the hard bit, especially Canada has been quite good about the shutdown. I mean, things in British Columbia are not fantastic right now. They're popping like 270 new cases a day, which is a shame. Better than America. Things are a bit rough down there. So for everyone down south, please be safe, wear your masks and take care of yourselves, because things are not fantastic just yet, but you'll be fine. And we can all cuddle and snuggle and struggle together shortly. It was tough, because I was like, the thing I want is to be, even if I'm not playing games, I want to be around people playing games. And that's what I really missed, is those in-person conversations, because I am a beautiful butterfly and I like to flitter around people and just steal all of their delicious hobby sap. I don't know what butterflies eat. Nectar. There we go. I want their hobby nectar. That's what I need. So I realized
proboscis in there and get that nectar out.
That's it. I needed to proboscise all of the British Columbian hobbyists, but unfortunately not much gamey stuff going on. Or if it was going on, I was probably working that day or all kinds of shames like that. So, so yeah, that for me is where I get my excitement from. And that's why I had to start to build a routine and find ways to get that outside of just latching onto people like a koala and never letting go, because you can't do that right now.
Giving them syphilis.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. For those who don't know, koalas are notoriously randy and don't use protection. So there's a little bit of an issue with them and their healthcare.
Today I learned I was a koala. So drop bears, I know, they're the scariest thing in the world, they're drop bears. Okay, you know, I understand that. Like, one of the things I got asked a lot when we were doing coverage a lot, you know, maybe I wouldn't have got time to play a game in ages, you know, someone's like, you know, do you not miss playing games? And I do. Mechanically, I enjoy playing games, they're super fun. Sometimes I don't, but that's not because I don't enjoy gaming. I just sometimes have made a mistake and I'm super hard on myself and I'm just like, fuck this game, I'm an idiot. Like, that's who I am when I play sometimes. And apologies to all my... yeah, just an angry koala. But like, going to events, like you were saying, Dan, is a huge motivation for me, because you get to see... Because the thing is the number of lists that explode out of people like mine's head. Like, you know, you talk to Darren, he's just like, I've got a billion lists, or Crusty Warfare's got like a billion lists, or whoever it might be, who's just one of those people who just like, just keeps creating lists and just is excited by it. You can't build and paint all those armies anyway. Like, sometimes I'd be demotivated because you couldn't afford the army, or you couldn't build or paint the army in time when it was like doing these really fun, janky things, or not even when they're fun and janky, just when they're fun, as an example. Like, I still haven't like painted or built the doom wheel that I want for my army, because it's just like a fucking complicated model I can't be asked to do. Like,
build a purple sun instead.
Not as bad as one of those blade chariot things. Jakers, that thing just about took my fingers off trying to do that.
I still think the purple sun's the worst model I've ever built.
Phoenix Guard for me. Phoenix Guard.
Fair.
I actually stopped building the entire High Elf army I'd bought because of the Phoenix Guard, which are pretty necessary in 8th edition Warhammer Fantasy Battle. And I just like got to 20 Phoenix Guard. And I don't think it was 20, it was like 14. I was like, I'm not building any more of these. This army can just fucking sit in a box forever. I hated it. Like, it's the worst news. but my point, thanks, Diadrin. Yeah, they are the worst. What was I going to say? But events are super motivating, and that's got to be really hard for everyone at the moment. Obviously because like, some places have events, but some people have very, very few events, right? And even if they have events, some people can't go out because they want to be careful about spreading stuff or whatever the situation might be, right? So Dan, I can completely understand routine and events. Go on.
As well, for me, since starting to do coverage, I now get more excited to do coverage than to play. Like, I actually love the one of the things I always used to enjoy the most about playing in tournaments was when other people would when I'd finish my games early, and then I can wander around and watch all of the other games and find out how they're going and the stories and everything like that. So I think that's another big thing I miss. I miss doing coverage, but I miss watching coverage as well, because obviously there's not quite as much going on at the moment. There are a few places starting to poke their heads back out though, so I just kind of leech onto them and suck that good hobby nectar through the screen, but it's not quite the same as being there, I think.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would absolutely agree. It's not the same as being there. Yeah, Nathan, what do you know? What motivates you?
I don't know. It's toughie. I guess it's the models. When I pick up the little bastard things and just start looking at the details and everything, and like formulating how I want it to look and everything, and yeah, then once I've got that idea in my head, then I just want to get it done, and then I'll start, and it doesn't look like anything like I thought it would, but I'm still happy.
But you're still happy, is that the truth?
Yeah, because it's Because it's painted. Now I can push it around the table and call it a dick.
We'll talk about that in a moment. I just want to say thank you to Eddie Mac for subscribing and everyone who subscribed today. Eddie Mac, actually, some of you may not know, obviously, Eddie Mac's on Dragon Slayer's team, also one of the organizers of Sheffield Slaughter. Eddie Mac has done a Kickstarter for a bunch of rules he's written, which is not the first time he's written a bunch of rules for different game systems. I think maybe Scrivo might be able to find it in the chat. But if you get the opportunity, you guys should go check it out because it's very, very cool.
I still need that. The first time he ever wrote rules for, well, released rules for a fantasy game, I think, right?
So it's... Yes, but he has written rules before for games.
Yeah. Archipatean. Oh my God, I've just seen what you're painting.
Yeah, baby.
He's been holding it up to the camera this entire time.
I don't have the cameras on. Oh, I'm quitting next week. I'm going to burn the shop to the ground.
What is it?
It's the Aura Korn, Nath. The terrain piece.
Just been sick in my mouth.
Well, just a little side note. So I played Nathan yesterday, and one of the... So my current painted armies are shitloads of Horrors and Flamers for Tzeentch, yeah, since the Chaos Dwarfs have gone. Yeah. A Seraphon army, yeah, which is super gross and awful to play. I have an Iron Jaws army, so we'll sideball that for the minute because that's what I'm moving on to. The Skaven army, which still needs some elements like building and painting Doomwheel, as I said. And then half a Nurgle army and some other stuff. So I'm trying to like build some armies that are a little bit more fun, because when me and Nathan played yesterday, he bought the Trog Herd. And I don't think it didn't feel like there was much of a mishmash in power, maybe, because I fucked up the first turn quite significantly. However, like for two turns, my flavors just deleted everything. And it was just gross. And I want to just build something that's fun. And James, what's worse than corn? So just I was then. Like, I'll just take a corn army and then they'll be shit and I'll have a great time.
That's true. I think I could probably beat a corn army with a Sylvaneth army.
Bet.
Shady.
Let's wait for the chat to blow up.
I reckon Feast of Chaos could take corn,
but not in corn allegiance, I hope.
No, that's what they need to do. You need to fight fire with fire.
The Slaanesh one was always the best.
It also, I can't remember what it was, but it had the best name. The Slaanesh one had like the creepiest, seediest name.
What the Phantasmagoria of Fate? No, that was not that one.
The Slaanesh one was Depraved Drone.
The Depraved Drone.
Drove, just wasn't it? Yeah.
Drove. Just because a whole lot of hairy goat people doing horrifying things to each other and everything they get their hands on. Like, I mean, like corn, it's like, they're going to kill you. Ah, damn. Tzeentch, it's like, they're going to magic you and they're going to kill you. Nurgle, it's like, they'll make you sick and then they'll kill you. But a bunch of randy goats, that I'm more terrified by.
I'm really into that. You couldn't set them on fire if you put them in Slaanesh when they were better. So you still have to keep them in Beasts of Chaos.
What for?
It's
to be able to set goats on fire.
Oh yeah, you do. You do.
There was set goats on fire. There was this, I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was an old webcomic, and it was talking about, you know, like it was guardsmen on a planet, and it was like, who's coming to kill us? And then it was like, the Night Lords. And it was like, what's the Night Lords deal? And it's like, they're really scary. And they're like, you mean in the Warhammer 40,000, where you've got unknowable terrors of the Tyranids, you've got all, and then like listed all these other things that are sold as the most terrifying thing in Warhammer. And they're like, and these guys are just scary. Like they're, because they're like Jason Voorhees enthusiasts or something like that. And then it was like, yeah, like that kind of for the first time shattered. And no shade meant at anybody who is a player of the Spooky Boys. But I was like, yeah, just being scary isn't really a thing in either of the Warhammer universes anymore, because it's like, Stormcast are actually kind of scary. Like everything is scary, but then it's context for me that's scary. It's like, why are they scary? They'll skin ya and then they'll be spooky in the shadows and they'll give you like a really intense haunted mansion vibe before they kill you. And it's like, okay, but then they do kill you. And then you've got like Tyranids where it's like, they'll impregnate you, and then they'll slowly digest you. And then it's like, oh, that's actually a lot more scary. But then it's when it's like, this goat has an erection. I'm like, oh God, no, 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 no. Send the Tyranids, send the Night Lords, send everybody, just not to the goats, please.
My favorite bit of that was like a 10-minute build up to probably the best punchline of the show so far.
I like Gitley's comment in the chat, men who stare at beasts of goat chaos is very funny. yeah, I don't know where we were now. Where were we?
Sorry, we were talking about Sylvaneth beating Khorne, I think.
No, we were talking about motivation is what we're doing. That's and we covered Nathan's motivation. Okay, so we covered everyone's motivation, which is key. And we've asked everyone in the chat what their motivation is. And obviously, like, there's a lot to unpack here as well. I think events, especially for us, and I assume for lots of the people who listen to the show, because we generally talk about competitive stuff and we generally are event-based and event-focused is our general vibe, is what we do. Like, I imagine a lot of you are people who are more motivated by events and event playing or even just hearing about events, which is why someone who listens to, let's say, painting streamers or painting podcasts or, you know, narrative guys, you guys have got the same motivation. I'm not saying that you're, like, in an easier spot. Not my point. Like, and if you're having a rough time, I apologize. That's not what I'm trying to say. I just mean that those events and that kind of camaraderie has kind of been hit quite significantly by the Rona. So in which case, like, the final question, I guess, really, is how do you guys, or are you going to try and stay motivated in the future? So I'll kick off with mine while you guys are having to think about it. Mine was all thanks to Colt Payne, Henry Steele. So he came on the show and was talking to me about painting. Suggested the Series 7 Winsor Newton brush, by the way, and I just want him to know that I hate it, but it's probably because I don't understand how to use it. I don't know how to use it. That's what I'm going to say. I imagine if I watched his YouTube videos, I would learn, but I'm ignorant. But he said something that had a massive effect on me, at least. Especially at the old studio during the lockdown, was like, just have one thing that you're working on your hobby table. Nothing else, just the one thing. And then you just finish that one thing. And I've been pretty prodigious over lockdown. I got like 90 Plague Bearers done, like 60 Clan Rats, like a whole bunch of different Orc units, a Gazgul, like a bunch of different, like I've done loads of things. And it was mainly because of that advice, because I would like, there would always just be something lying around, like another thing. They'd be like, this, I don't know about you guys, but I build the one thing and then I leave it there, and then I do the other project and I leave it there. But his advice was just take the project from start to finish and just do that. And that has been a massive help to me. Like, that has been absolutely huge. So like, I'm doing this Khorne altar now, and it's just like, cool, I'm gonna do it red, do it some bronze, give it a wash, and it'll be done. Like, and then it's just there and it's done, and that feeling of like completion. Whereas maybe I'd just do it in the past, I'd have done it red, and then I'd have left it on the side for a bit. I'm like, I've got to go back and do that. And then I build the cool new thing, if that makes sense. So that's been a huge help for me for trying to get stuff done. And I'm also an optimist. I hope at some point I'll be able to play games again with my friends. And so if I just build and paint all the stuff that I own, then I'll be able to play loads of fun games, and I don't have to wait, if that makes sense. Like, when I can finally see someone, I can do it. But I guess that can be... And there's days when I just do nothing. Like, there's days where, like, I'm really demotivated, it's super hard, and so don't, like, think that I'm, like smashing out all the time. And I don't like hobby, that's the other problem. Hobbying for me was so I could play games at events, or just play games with my friends. And so, like, that's where I'm at. So that's been mine, that's my one piece of advice. I don't have any other advice apart from drink lots of water, make sure you surround yourself with people who always got your back, and then just, you know, try and have a good day. Like, I know that's hard, but try. And that's it. Dan, or who wants to jump in on this one? Who's got one?
I'll throw something out there that it was the thing that got me back into getting my hobby into a place that made me happy, but also getting like my headspace back into a better place. And that was routine. Like I mentioned it before, like having a routine, it like helps me create discipline for myself, because I know that if I don't, I can become really undisciplined and really quite lethargic, which you do need sometimes. But for me, I was like, okay, look, I'm not going to be getting to tournaments anytime soon. So I just started consuming more things and watching old streams and doing all of that. But for me, it was discipline. It was like, okay, I come home and this is my hobby time. And I won't lie, like the first couple of times I did it, it was a chore. Like I actually had to sit down and I prepped all of my hobby stuff the night before. So I would come down and it was there and I didn't have an excuse. And after about 5 minutes, I was actually really enjoying it. I was watching a little bit of Amazon and then like the boys, rad, horrifying, but rad. And I was just watching while I was hobbying away and I found I loved it. And then what it became was that routine became my, I got really excited for that routine in the same way that for me, exercise, I used to wake up in the morning and I'd always go to sleep early so I could wake up and go to the gym before work. I fell out of that practice and now it's like I'm sitting on the couch drinking beer till 2 a.m. until I have to go to sleep so that I get enough sleep before I have to wake up and go to work the next day, and the cycle just rinses and repeats. And it wasn't until I just literally forced myself to do it by starting to set my alarm early, and that kind of broke it. So I know that it's not the necessarily the uplifting, like I defeated it with a little help from my friends and this small plucky sidekick. But it was honestly, it was creating a structure for me that did it. And I like it because now I'm super excited to hobby again, where I don't think I'd lost the passion, but I was more like, where did it go? And that got me down. I was like, oh, I used to come home and there'd be paint all over my fingers and sprues all over my house, and I was like, where did that excitement go? And it wasn't gone. It just needed a little help. Just need a little help and a little bit of more attention to detail from me to making it happen. But yeah, that I don't know if that's going to help anybody, but it definitely helped me.
That's a good one. I was really good. I'm going to read some stuff out in the chat if that's okay before we move on. Marcus Rock says, I like hobbying not for the painting itself because it's very relaxing. I feel better than playing video games, which was my hobby before Warhammer. Mine too. And I do agree. There's something about building and finishing a thing, which maybe leads on to Onia's point, or 1R. No idea which is right at this stage. I spend a lot of time painting details in my minis, and then I occasionally realize that's going to be the last time I'm looking at those details. I do feel like sometimes it's important to just get your collection together and look through the painted minis again. I think that's a cool little thing, little journey. Maybe even just do get weird, like have a photo shoot with them, you know, like
on set the
them
beach.
On the beach, or set them up in some shots, you know, like if you've got two armies, get them kind of like positioned against each other. Everyone's got a phone on their camera now, pretty much, you know, unless you're Kelly Rowland. A camera on their phone.
Look
what I mean.
The spice camera I've got. Oh, I can't even talk to people.
You shut up, one photo in Australia.
Phone.
But yeah, like, you know, get them out. That's a really good piece of advice, I think. Get them out, take some photos, and just be like, that's cool. You know, you could maybe put them online. I just recently have deleted actually Twitter off my phone, actually, because I found I was doom scrolling a lot, if you guys know what doom scrolling is, where you're just looking for stuff and information to come in. So I've scrapped that, and now I only access it on my computers, which has been a positive for me. But again, like if you can use social media to get some sort of positive reinforcement, but you need to be careful not to go too far with social media so that you get some sort of feedback, if that makes sense. So that's really important, a thing to also be aware of. James, how do you stay motivated, or what are you planning on doing to keep motivated?
So I think for me, like having none for weeks, and then taking some time to actually sit and paint. So I was like, right, I'm going to set the airbrush up. So I set an airbrush up in my garage. So my garage is a bit clearer now. There's electric in there, which I guess is a lucky asset to have. But so because I managed to set that up, I was like, right, I can set a table up and I can literally just leave an airbrush in here, come out, airbrush. There's lights, there's electric. It doesn't matter. I can spray a wall. It's in the garage. No one cares. So I started that and I was like, cool, they're sprayed gold, they're really easy, I'll just put some detail on them, they'll be fine for tabletop. And then I think because I started painting, I put on some TV, some easy watching, so I'm watching Dirk Gently, which I took me a whole series to decide if I liked, but I liked it enough to watch a second.
That's how you know art's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like olives. I must have eaten olives like 30 times before I was like, oh, probably like olives. Not sure.
Yeah, these are probably good now. So a bit like that, yeah. So I watched basically the whole first series. And then I was like, I'll watch one episode, it's about an hour, and I'll do an hour's worth of painting. And then I'll go play some computer games. And I put one episode on and I started painting. And three episodes later, I was like, oh, I finished. And I think for me, it was that point of forcing myself to paint the first, like to sit and paint. And if it had been an hour, that was cool because that was what I'd set out to do. But actually, then I kind of lost myself in enjoying the show, painting, chilling out. And I actually really enjoyed it. So my aim is now to try and put myself, let's say, an hour a week to sit and paint. And if that turns into 5 hours, or if I really want to finish something, great. If I only do an hour a week, then it's an hour more than I have been doing. Mm-hmm. And then I guess my flip debate, and I know I bang on about it loads, so I'll try and keep it really short, is I brought the new Warcry box set, and that comes this weekend. So maybe that'll help too.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. I think the issue that is with the motivation, other than you get some cool minis, which is should be a motivation in of itself, is maybe try and like switch up in your brain for the people at home why you're doing the thing. Like if you like when you're trying to get them done for the event, that's like that, you know, there's a ticking time bomb over your head. But when you're not doing it for an event, you really do have to understand that motivation comes from somewhere else. And it's always better to be, like Dan said, it's always better to be more disciplined than it is to be motivated. Like, so if you pick a time a day when you're going to do a thing and just do it for an hour or two or whatever, like, discipline generally works better than motivation. If you listen to any kind of, like, fucking guys that work out, that's their general consensus. Because you always have to find a reason to be motivated, whereas discipline is you do a thing because that's what you do at that time, if that makes sense. So it depends who you are. I'm someone who's emotionally led, so I always like something to motivate me, generally, is kind of my philosophy. Talking about emotionally led, go on.
I would just thought, because while you were saying that, I'd spotted earlier in the chat, highlighted it, and then forgot. Sorry again, and put in the chat, he was always overwhelmed by the amount of hobby he has. So he needs to admit he will never do a great job and just needs to get paint on it. And I think I've talked about this before, so I'll try and rush it through quick, but I saw that and just thought it was really interesting. So obviously last year, and it was for an event, I painted 140 Marauders in 2 weeks around actually going to work every day back in those days. And for me, actually, the most interesting thing about that was I painted 10 Marauders to like what I would say was my tabletop standard. And I was like, cool, it took me 2 hours. If I did 20, how fast can I do it? And worked out it took me 2 hours and 20-30 minutes. And then I was just like, cool, I'm only going to paint 20 at a time and I'm only going to take 2 hours. And if they're not done, they're not done. And actually, it almost became fun, like a weird, fun competition against myself and no one else. Where I was just like, how good can I paint in 2 hours and 20 minutes? Because when I put 140 on a table, no one's going to know.
That's true.
Well,
that's true.
I saw someone as well earlier say that they really don't like painting. And I would say that for the vast majority of being in the hobby, I also avoided painting like the plague. Like, I loved gaming, I loved building and converting and stuff like that. But that was the painting I found really tedious. And I kind of realized that it was because I wasn't great at it because I hadn't done it much because I kept avoiding it. And then I just did 2 months where I made myself paint every day, even if it was only for half an hour. And I found that my skill went up really quickly. But you know, like, how do you get good at anything? You practice. My skill went up quickly. I practiced it a little bit. And through doing that, I started to really enjoy it more, to the point where when I painted my big, beautiful ogre army, I enjoyed every bulge and every bicep and now I do get excited to paint. The thing that's kind of, I won't lie, the thing that's held me back right now a little bit is that I had a full paint collection of all the colors I loved and used back in Australia, and I obviously didn't bring it with me. So now I've got a very small, select colors that I only expand as I need stuff. I miss that versatility of being like, I want to paint red. And then there's all my reds and like get to play around with everything. But if anyone's like me and you've been in the hobby for a little while and you build and it's always putting it on the table and you love having a painted army, but you don't enjoy painting, make yourself like try a little bit of discipline, make yourself paint for 30 minutes a day and like Google some tutorials as well. You'd be surprised how quickly it rewards you. In the same way that if you start surfing, you fall off a lot. The more you push yourself to get up on the board, you get those little moments where you're up and riding for a couple of seconds, and then that motivates you and excites you to do it more. Just make yourself paint. You'll quickly start to get some satisfaction out of it. Or at least that's how it worked for me. And now I really enjoy it and I really, really miss it. You go back even 4 years, 5 years ago, everything was gray. Like everything was gray and maybe sprayed if it was very lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are some really solid points. Also, talking about timing yourself, just saying that there's a live show every day, 12 to 1 BST, where you could hang out and paint. There's some dickhead who talks on the internet. If you wanted to, for an hour a day, that could be like the time. It's when I normally paint, generally. Sometimes I know, like, some of us are painting now, Nathan's painting, I'm painting, although the reason I'm painting this corner is like there's no concentration, I'm just dabbing red in places and listening, which is kind of
the when like I paint. The army.
Huh? What did you say?
Didn't say a thing.
What did you say?
Sounds like the army.
I'm going to beat you up with corn just to make you feel. Cheeky
I'm
plug.
I'm going to play so you can't.
But yeah, like what I was gonna say that's normally when I will do some painting when I'll have a guest on or something, because I struggle a little bit with this communication. You guys I know can't see me because of bandwidth and stuff, so there's some drama there. So actually that's been a good hour for me as well every day, which has been fun, unless I've got a guest on and I'm like trying to take it super serious and all those other things. Nathan, what about you? How are you going to stay motivated, keep yourself motivated? What's your plans?
So, like I said, the models are what keep me motivated. So I like to keep the models somewhere where I can see them fairly easily. And even if, like in the morning before I'm going to work, I just get a chance to pick one up and sort of turn it around and look at the details. It makes me look forward to painting it. Then I try and make the time when I get home to paint it. I'm making sure that I've got the time. But then it shouldn't be, like it to be less of a chore. So it is definitely something I like to do as a relaxation type thing. So just chill in, listen to some music or a podcast or some audio stuff. I struggle to watch. I know you guys all watch films whilst you paint in, but I struggle to do that. I can't concentrate on looking at two different things. So I like to have something audio on whilst I'm painting. And the other thing, though, I'll echo Dan's point about watching tutorials. Mm. If I come across a model and I'm not quite sure on how to paint it, quite often I'll look at the GW paint thing, because they've got them for most of the models now on YouTube or whatever. So like the old ones that Duncan did, they were just great. So I'd watch that and then I'd be super motivated to paint those models.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just real, yeah. Just watching those guys, painting a model and just, yeah, that just motivates you big time. So, yeah.
Now, all of those are really solid points and I'm completely on board with them. I now have this image, though, if you wake up in the morning, long smoking coat, some maybe some jandals or something on your feet, you walk in like completely naked apart from the dressing gown, walk up to your mom and be like, oh yeah, I'll get into you later, my friend. You are going to get so much paint on you.
Give them a good fondle. Make sure they know that, that what's lined up for them later that day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Then you go for it. Go to now work. Maybe send them a text message.
That's what I was going to say. I imagine that you had WhatsApp like, group. Yeah, you, they're in a WhatsApp group and you're messaging
later, baby.
This got very...
hey, Gobbapalooza, just to wait till I rub my brush on you later.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's the other thing, is just paint the Gobbapalooza over and over again. That'll keep you motivated. Forever.
I like the idea that Nathan's just so thick with paint because they're actually all he's painted during lockdown.
Like eight times. Yeah. Oh, I love the... I love the idea of there being just a WhatsApp group where everyone just messages their models, can't wait to get home to you later. You're getting so much red put on you.
I've got a bank of cell phones next to all my hobby desks. Each one have got their own cell phone, their own mobile phone.
Siri, ring Boggle Eye.
Brugit? Is Brugit one?
Yeah, Brugit. Yeah.
But he never texts back. Later. He never texts back. He's a bastard. Yeah. He ghosted Nathan. okay, well, that's been good. Has anyone got any other ways that they are trying to or would like to stay motivated? I guess one of the real big questions, and again, I know I said this at the top of the show, you don't have to be motivated. These are incredibly unique times. It's a global pandemic. There's a whole bunch of other stuff I could say that's not super positive, but it's not the best of times. So being demotivated is super okay. Like the first thing you should do is remove any guilt that you've achieved nothing. Remove that from yourself. Like that should be fine. Yeah. But
I was feeling guilt because I stole toilet paper from an old blind lady, but I removed that. Because obviously these are extenuating circumstances, and I was better than her, so
stronger, more nimble.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, not more nimble. She chased me. She was like quite sprightly. I lost it. I you know what? I'm not too proud to say she beat me with a walking stick and took it back. But guilt wise, after I was done giving my statement to the police and blaming her for attacking me, I just completely removed the guilt from there.
Yeah, exactly. That's
what I'm great advice, Dan.
That's what I'm trying to say. And listen, the important parts are like when we stop feeding the kids, it won't be long till we stop feeding the old, and then we'll be all good. Yeah, and then you'll be able to beat her up again, Dan. So you'll be safe.
I'll have a chance. I'll be in. She felt like I was going up against Mike Tyson. My God, she was a weapon.
Anyway, the important part is to remove any guilt that you've achieved nothing away from yourself. They're super unique times. Your friends and family are having a tough time. Everyone's having a tough time. So you shouldn't be tough on yourself about this situation. And then find a way to motivate yourself, but don't worry if you don't. That's super important. Remove that guilt from yourself because it's meant to be fun. I'm going to quote my friend Joe Purcell again. It's your hobby. Which is one of the nicest things he always said to me. It's kind of the thing when, you say, maybe you don't get on with someone. It's like, that's fine. I don't get on with everyone. That's life. That's how life works. Yeah. But it's my hobby and I can do it with the people I like and I can enjoy my hobby because it's your hobby. I can't tell you how to live your hobby and therefore other people can tell you yours. So it's super important to just embrace your hobby and just take your time with it. If you want to half-ass some models, it's fucking half-ass them. Someone tells you that they're shit, it's cool. Your face is shit. And then you're fine. It's completely okay. Right? So, you shouldn't have to work to, any sort of, pressure is what I'm trying to get at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
Can I ask a very important question that just popped up into my head?
Sure.
What character in Age of Sigmar do you think gets overly triggered by your mama jokes?
Ooh, great question.
just as you were saying that, I was like, yeah, if someone is like, oh, well, that's shit, and you turn around and be like, yeah, well, so is your face. Be like, yeah, your mama doesn't think that they're bad. And I was like, who do you think? Wow, the chat just hit up Malarian immediately.
Yeah, they were all into it straight away.
Because I was going to say maybe Dreitcha. I feel like she would cop it kind of bad.
Anyone as Elariel's the only mama, right?
Is she a mama? Well, no, let's be honest. We're not 100% certain on the birthing rituals of Trogoths. And do you know what? The lore guys, I'm pointing at you lore guys, whoever you might be, your favourite lore YouTuber, they're not brave. Yeah, I don't see them going into the mating and love rituals of different races in Age of Sigmar. I don't know the birthing rituals of Trogoths. Is the Dankhold Dame, is she birthing all of the Trogoths? Like,
that Forge World one, what's her name? Trollhag?
Yeah, the Dank Dame, the Trogoth Princess.
Okay, we don't call her
the Hag. She's not. All right. There's some male misogyny that's been placed on her by the Games Workshop rules writers. We always call her the Dank Dame or the Trogoth Princess. Elevate her because she's beautiful. Nathan, how beautiful is she?
Yeah, she's stunning.
Said with such conviction.
She doesn't need to defend herself at this point in time.
We defend her. Like, that's who we go to bat for all the time. I killed her the other day when we played Nathan. Then he brought her back out of the trog hole. I wasn't even sad. I was like, it's perfect. It's exactly what I want.
Do you know what? Actually, every week I try and get someone to write some Warhammer fan fiction. Here's the chance.
What?
Let's
for the trog
go again. let someone write me some how everything in Age of Sigmar's born, and I'll submit it in my name to the Warhammer Horror.
Will you read it out next week?
Warhammer Horror.
Read it out.
Why does it have to be horror? Reproduction horror.
Will you read it out next week if someone sends it in?
Yeah, mm-hmm. As long as it's safe for work, and if it's not, I'll bleep some words out.
As long as go on, Dan, after you, sorry.
Well, okay, I was going to say, what if it's documentary style?
Yeah, that's fine.
Rather than horror, like... The mating rituals of the Boggle-Eye are disturbing, to say the least, however beautiful in their own way. And then we just have some kind of David Attenborough performance art where they rub their eyeballs together until they create a spalling that becomes a new Boggle-Eye.
Vote on whether or not the start of each show every Monday now should be the birthing ritual of... one of something in our news section. Thoughts and votes. The four of us, you all get an equal share in the vote. I vote yes.
I'm on board.
No, I'm not going to say birthing, but at the very least, some kind of documentary piece. Someone needs to present it. Maybe it's reproduction. Maybe it's life cycle. Maybe it's how they hunt and eat.
Okay. All right. Well, we need a vote. I'm willing for any of those, but we need fanfic sent in. Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in.
Okay. That's it. Meg's boyfriend's in. And Dan, final vote?
I'm all for it.
Okay. Okay.
Expect
that next week. That sounds really fun. All right. Well, that's a bunch of like really positive ways to stay motivated, I think. And hopefully this is just a good listen for people who might be feeling like it's like alone a little bit. I was talking to someone today. They were asking me about the stream streak, and I was like, blokes generally, and we're all blokes, struggle sometimes to communicate their feelings, and things like this are a good space to do that, and listening to people who you like and the way that they communicate, so that you can be like, oh, actually maybe I'm not alone, maybe this is just like how things work. Nathan, don't say any rude words at this point. I know what you're saying in your head. Yeah, don't you do it. Right, but it's okay. Good. It's a good thing. It's a positive thing.
No.
Oh my god, I cannot wait to die so Nathan has to do my like obituary. No, the thing. Yeah. What's the thing where you have to read it
eulogy.
Out? Eulogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my voice. God, if everyone. Yeah, the you googly. All of you film it every moment. Yeah, because he will cry and I'll laugh. In my grave. Yeah, it's worth dying for. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll go down for this. Yep, let's do it.
The eulogically. So, yeah, have you guys got any other ways to stay motivated? Any thoughts? Anyone else out there that does motivate you? Some opportunities to do some shout outs?
No, but I wanted to put it out there that now that I feel like I'm starting to get my groove back and my mojo back, if anyone wants to do like some kind of small builder, painter, team thing, just if there, I don't know, if there are a few of us, we put a little Discord together, we go from gray plastic on sprue to building, painting, and trying to even just get small armies up or something like that. We can high five each other digitally and get this going. I'd be down for something along those lines because it's time to start a new project.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, that's
fun.
A great way of doing it. I used to quite often sit in the evening painting little fuckers whilst listening to Jonathan Edlund regaling me with various things whilst he was painting his one. So, yeah, if you got somebody, a mate that you can Skype with or Discord with or whatever, that's definitely a great way of doing it. Or even if they're playing computer games and you're painting your thing, and yeah, it's just somebody to chat to, and yeah, that's great. I think
keeping each other motivated is really important as well. I think that can be a key feature, which was always the point of the Super Series teams thing. The team format was meant to make a group of guys like motivate each other, and then hopefully form other teams in the future. So, oh, I want to go play in a Super Series. We'll form a team, because I do think that's the best way to keep a group of you motivated together. Is to be in kind of that like constant reinforcement bubble, which we do or we don't need. Like, let's be honest. Mm. I think staying motivated. There's lots of very exciting people out there who do some really great things, but that also can be really daunting as well. When you see people out there who are like always doing great models and they seem to just do them so quickly, that actually can be a little bit daunting, I find, personally. Like, I'm just like, fuck, I'm never going to do that. And then I just think, what's the point in me doing anything? Do you know what I mean? So taking a break from looking at those things, I know like an Instagram scroll or a Twitter scroll can sometimes seem therapeutic, maybe, and make you feel connected to the world. But maybe those one-on-one conversations are a little bit more valuable, where you just message someone one-on-one and just say, what are you doing today? I'm doing this, instead of just kind of doom scrolling through Twitter. That's a lot of personal shit I'm saying there. I think that can be hard. Do you ever get demotivated by looking at all the awesome shit online, or does that motivate you? Because it doesn't necessarily motivate me.
No, that definitely can demotivate you. When I was first starting to paint stuff, and I was painting my dwarves, I was painting at Warhammer World, and I thought, oh, that was before they had before you had to pay to go and see all their little display. Mm. And so I thought, oh, I just wonder how they did the flesh tone or something like that. So I ran up into the thing, had a quick look, and I was like, ah, fuck, I'm never going to get anywhere close to that. And I was just like, oh, I'll just go and put my dwarves away and fuck off and go and do something else, because this is a waste of time. But yeah, you've got to sort of manage your expectations, really, and just paint to your level. And, you know, accept that's your level, and just realize that obviously it can improve, but it's going to take time and a commitment of some resources. So it's whether you want to commit those resources or not, if it's worth your while. But, you know, like you said, it's your hobby. So as long as you're enjoying it, you do it to the level that you're getting your enjoyment out of it
all the time. Like, I've been across from some pretty crap armies at points in my life, and some beautiful armies. I remember playing Oscar Lyles once, and his army was so pretty it made the board look shit, which is a like, I was like, holy crap, the board looks awful looking at his army, and nothing compared to mine. But the point is like, at the distance that we look at models as well, like when you're doing them this close, like, you know, half an inch from your face, you know, you probably need an eye test. But like, you know, when you're doing them at normal paint range, you know, you are looking at that detail from, you know, 40 feet when they're up in the air. They just kind of all look like models. Like, it's quite hard to make them look decent at that distance.
40 feet up in the air. What the fuck?
He's good at his geography.
He's doing it from a harness, mate.
A three-story house.
He's from one of them cherry pickers. All the way at the top. Move them 3 inches forward.
That's business talk, isn't it? Let's look at this from 40 feet. Let's look at this like that's the business thing, isn't it? That's what they say.
When did anyone ever say that in business?
Yeah, they say that. Dad, you must have heard that.
Yeah.
They say that.
Let's look at this from. I'm Googling it.
They fucking say that. Someone back me up in the chat. Someone back me up in the chat. They say 100-foot view, apparently. That, apparently, this even further away.
Let's look at it from 40 feet. Oh, man, that hurts.
Okay. What about a new game where we all play Warhammer, but you have to do it for COVID safety with those grabby robot arms?
Yeah, that would be... What? I would prefer it if it was like the pickers where you have to get the bear that you have to try and pick up from the pickup machine. Okay.
Oh,
all right, well, apparently that's not a thing. So now I knew. It's all right, I got the Canadian boys last week with snooker, so I guess I deserve it at the same time. Nathan, you still there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it hurts, though.
Oh, I didn't know that wasn't the thing. Now what do I see? A top level view. I don't even know what we were talking about.
I mean, is that thing now? I think that's our new thing. That can be an emote.
I think it's a thing Vince Ventrella says. So he's the idiot. Let's talk about that.
He looks at things from 40 feet.
It's a thing that Vince says.
It's a thing he says. Right, I'll fucking get him. Obviously, he's not an idiot. He's a really, really smart man, better than me.
Do you know what? Even better if Vince has been saying it for like 2 years just to catch you out on your own show one day.
The long con. Oh, wanker. All right, fine.
Just leaving it there to get you one day.
Okay. Well, I don't know. My point was, though, and I did the clever thing where it's like half an inch and I was like, that's too close. I thought that was funny and then I wrecked it. Anyway, the point is, I was saying, is when they're further away on the tabletop, they don't need to be as detailed, is what I'm saying. So broad strokes, gentlemen. Broad strokes.
And yeah, I guess you could see them from 40 feet, really.
I mean, my eyes are that shocking. It's kind of hard for me to see from six. That's why I stay 6 feet apart.
Can you imagine
people
playing
have been great for me.
Imagine playing Fire Slayers at 40 feet. Orange Peg, guy.
No, stop it. Oh, man.
That small carpet of flesh tone and orange.
Apparently, Vangelis says no one says broad strokes either. We say that here in the UK. We say broad strokes.
No. That's you're thinking breaststroke. That's a type of swimming. Yeah. Sorry, I don't understand where you're.
What
where,
words
how...
do I say out of my mouth? Like.
Yeah. No. Broad strokes. No. What they're saying is we're using breaststrokes, meaning we're to swim in a controlled frog-like fashion.
Oh, my God.
Gosh.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right.
It really is a case of spare the dog, spoil the child.
No one watches the YouTube videos and just be like, fuck, this guy's a moron.
Can we change the name of the show to View from 40?
Agent Sigma from 40 feet.
That could be next week. Check 40 feet away from the camera, Brian.
Fine.
Oh, shit.
Good dust. Good dust.
So, yeah. 40k from 40 feet. Perfect. Thank you, Mr. M. Groening. That's the plan. What was I going to say? Yeah, I think we've covered everything, right? We've nailed it. Yeah. Because now it's just because I want to try and end the show ASAP because it's derailing. There's a lot of motivation and momentum picked up towards attacking me. So if I cut it off now,
oh, that fucking hurt. That did.
That's okay. A bird in the hand is worth two other birds. So we'll just wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I've lost it. Where was it? Someone just put, I'm not a shit painter. People are just looking at it too closely.
Thank you to the art of war 40k for reading us. That's nice of us.
just quickly, someone did redeem Dance Off for 9,000 points, and I feel like if we are going to have a point system, we must abide by it.
I've got some dances. Yeah, yeah, it's fine. I'll do the dances. I want to say thanks to the Art of War 40K for raiding us. The things we're talking about is stupid shit people say on stream. That wasn't what we were talking about, but I guess it is now a thing. But they probably look at stuff from 40 feet, just saying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
41 of them. If we stack them on top of each other, they'll be 41 feet away.
God almighty.
All right, okay. Well, the thing we were talking about, if you just joined us, is staying motivated in the hobby. And probably one of the ways you could stay motivated is picking on your friends. That also works, I guess.
It's a good way to do it.
Sometimes you don't need to pick on them. They just fucking fall into a big hole themselves.
Yep. Yeah, that works. That works. The other thing, I don't know about you guys. I was just thinking about this for a second. Like, have you ever tried one of the things that I'm enjoying at the moment, and now that there are what 40K guys are here, or some of them, like, I've obviously also been loving playing 40K. So I'm in a unique position where, like, both these games are in a really good spot at the minute. Although I do feel with Age of Sigmar, it's getting into kind of a holding pattern before we get into Age of Sigmar 3. So, like, it's a little bit, like, daunting. And also some of the shooting that's available in Age of Sigmar is, like, pretty gross. That Sentinel list. Pretty gross. KO, pretty gross. Seraphon,
Rob,
pretty
people
gross.
Are still redeeming Dance Off. I don't think you're allowed to stop yet.
It's fine.
I think there's been like four or five redeemed now.
Mate, I used to dance for 5 hours every night for people. I can. What's this? Anyone seen the sprinkler? I'll do the sprinkler all day. Yeah, I got dance moves like you wouldn't believe. Nathan Prescott's also a phenomenal dancer. I'd just like everyone to point out.
He has his little light up ribbons.
Nathan looks like he's trying to summon rain when he dances. That's how he dances.
that's why he dances, isn't it?
But have you, James, I know you play some other systems. Dan, have you jumped in and out of anything to give yourself a refresher? Or even just giving yourself a break? Have you tried that?
I've played a couple of others. The ones that, they didn't ever really stick, though. They just don't quite grab it in the same way. I'm keen to start getting into 40K though, with the new one. I'm looking at that, and I don't know if I'm going to love it or not. But I think having another style of model to build, paint, play, do all that is good. I just find armies, mixing up the armies is good. Oh my god, I know that the stream is like a minute behind where we're having our conversation. So Rob, I was just seeing a lot of pelvic gyrating.
You just seen the sprinkler.
No, pelvis. There's just it.
It's
yeah,
like the stand-up desk is so good. You can just dance all day. And
yeah, and the thing is, for me, I'm assuming you're not wearing pants from the waist down. So
you know it. Every time we stream, we do it bottomless. That's the plan.
Yeah, no pants. Mm-hmm. No worries.
Just thongs.
just shoes for safety because it's still a dig site, right?
Jandals only. But sorry, you were saying.
I actually can't remember. I lost myself in your rad moves.
No, rubbish.
Are you thinking of trying out 40K?
Oh yeah, thank you of trying out 40K. But the problem is that there's nothing that's really grabbed me. However, I did see a really cool Midwinter Minis video on doing the Necrons that are all messed up and cover themselves in like gore and skin and things because they're all kind of like flayed ones. And that like for me, it's about the army, and that finally made me go like, ooh, hello. I could learn to love that. So we'll see.
I'm not sure about that at all. Like that's gross. Necron aesthetic's always just been like bleh to me until they released like the Doomstalkers. I'm super into those. It's a shame that they're kind of medium power. But I'm really into the spiders. I think that's fun. But yeah, I also like looking at models with different paint schemes is another one as well. Nath, you've never played 40K. Just because the Art of War 40K guys are here, just quick one. How do you feel about 40K as a game?
I've got no feelings about it at all.
Oh my god, that's
not anything that it doesn't register on the feelings thing. whatever the feelings thing is inside of a person.
It's called a heart, Nathan.
Yeah. Nathan.
From 40 feet away.
Yeah, have you ever looked at it from 40 feet?
That's how I feel it, from 40 feet.
Have you ever looked at it from 40 feet to see if it gives you a different opinion?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's no good, though.
Oh my god, the feelings thing, whatever that bit is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also, what also excites me about 40K is maybe playing around with some stuff. Like, I see Skaven all the time converted with Mechanicum bits to make a Scryer army. I'd love to do the reverse of that and have a Mechanicum army converted with Skaven bits to do
Rat-canicum.
Like a ramshackle.
Rat-canicum.
Mechanicum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rat the fur canicum. The Adeptus Firstartes.
Name of my sex tape. Yeah, I agreed. I think that's one of the nice things, is jumping between projects and maybe even universes a little bit, because then you don't get maybe quite so burnt out. And also, arguably, the lore in Age of Sigmar is getting better, but it's still a bit guff. Like, it's okay. Like, we love it because we love it, but like, they're not great, are they? Like, they're medium. Like, someone in the chat earlier was like, I'm reading the Wheel of Time series at the minute on audiobook. And I was like, yes, yes. Now you're into it. That's fun. It's nice jumping into 40K where the lore's, like, pretty expansive. Although recently I don't think it's been overly great. But, like, that's nice. And then also maybe even playing different game systems could be fun. Like playing Blood Bowl or A Song of Ice and Fire, or... we've talked a lot about Marvel Crisis Protocol during Stream Streaks at the minute, because that looks like it's a really fun game and could be really fun. So, you know, giving yourself a break from your main hobby, if you will, to your side hobby, your side hustle, that might also be another way to keep... Yeah, your side piece. Everyone wants a side piece, right?
Yeah.
James, could you just confirm right now? Meg's boyfriend, could you confirm right now that everyone wants a side piece? Is that... Could you just say that for us?
I've got a house full of Warhammer. That's all I need. In fact, hang on. Wait. I've got you.
Oh, wait. I'm your side piece.
Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
That's why we're in a bubble.
Yes, we are in a support bubble. Someone says, am I going to play Warcry? No, I'm not going to play
Warcry.
Yes,
you are. We'll play.
It's meant to be really good, but I'm not going to play it. No, I'm loving 40K, loving Age of Sigmar. Very excited about my Gorefist list. So there's motivation there for me as well. I think that's really useful for me, like, as having lots of games. I'm looking forward to playing some games, so jazzed for that. All right, dudes. Yeah, Gorefist. Yes, Gorefist. Yeah, all day. I'm keep pushing some Eldari Exodites and Dinosaurs on the side because I read the Tarazrin and Orkin's Excellent Adventures. Nice. Okay. So has anyone got any questions before we head out for the day, I guess is the real one? Or have you three got anything that you'd like to bring up before we head? Hopefully this has been useful to people. I feel like we definitely... Last 30 minutes have coasted.
Yeah.
Time
to pull the trigger before things go into a dark place.
Yeah, I don't want them to be. I thought your support bubble, Rob, where everyone's my support bubble. That's the nice part. How many pigs? I think I've got 21 pigs. Is how many pigs I think I have?
Oh my God.
I've got a lot of pigs. I used to run the Gorefist before. It was so sexy. It's just like, just fucking... Ree! I also want to... Maybe that's also another thing I could do. I could buy a banjo and motivate myself to play the banjo. And then as in the movement phase, be like... And then just be really creepy about... Anyway.
That's terrifying.
No questions. We've had no questions. Oh, wait. AOS or 40K? If AOS or 40K? All right. So the last question is... AOS or 40K, if you had to get rid of one, which one would it be and why? Nathan.
Well, obviously, I'll get rid of 40K because it doesn't even register, so it's practically got rid of already. It's like 40 feet away, at least, or more.
I love that some bloke is listening to this somewhere in the world, that his missus or his partner or someone's going to be like, how do you feel about this? And he goes, it just doesn't register in my heart place, if I'm honest. Yeah. My feelings place.
In my feelings cavity.
Yeah.
James, what about you?
Do you know, like, every ounce of my being wants to say 40K, but at the minute, I actually also really like it as a game. Can I just burn something out? Can I burn Diachasm instead?
You can. You can. Not the person, though, because he's in the chat. But yeah, that's fine. Dan, what about you?
Gun to my head, if I had to choose one, I prefer a fantasy setting over a future setting. So I would get rid of 40K, but I'd prefer to just get rid of Legion of Asgore.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think we can all agree.
Get rid of something that's never existed.
Yeah, but if it did exist, getting rid of Age of Sigmar would be worth it just to get rid of Legion of Asgore.
Yeah.
Oh. Tom in the chat says, Tom, a show host of the 40K show, says, imagine liking 40K as a game right now. Also, it's trash.
Wow.
Which I don't agree with. I wouldn't get rid of either game. I think they're both in a great place. I think it's really exciting. Although I am excited for the next iteration of Age of Sigmar. I think some of the things like the terrain especially, like it's so impactful in 40K. I'm loving it so much. I would really like to see that brought into Age of Sigmar. I don't want them to fuck with the priority roll, though. I don't want them to fuck with the priority roll. That's like my one, like...
If you'd stop saying it, they might not.
I don't know which one I meant to do. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to all three of you. Thank you so, so much. You got any shout outs before we head out? Any people you want to pick up or holler at?
I hate everyone equally.
That's not very nice.
No, if anyone does want to do a little army builder painter challenge, drop me a message on Twitter or something like that and let's do something fun.
Yeah, baby. James?
I'm going to give one big more shout out to AD Mac, who obviously is forging his own empire. So one big more shout out to him, and the link to his game was somewhere in the chat, I think.
The guys have got the link. Yeah, big shout out to that. We'll include it in the show notes below. Nathan, any shout outs to any people in the world?
Nah.
I'm afraid anyone listening, you just don't register in Nathan's feeling place. It's just not what happens. I'd like to shout out my man, the big old fish, or the big one fish, who's been helping build the tables here at the T-Sports Arena, which are great. I've also just been enjoying hanging out with him and listening to music. So he's just a wonderful, wonderful man. He's been an angel. So that's my shout out for the day. And also all to you guys. Like, again, if you're feeling demotivated, don't worry about it. Like, you know, just to give yourself some time. And then if you want to, find someone else, buddy up, put a tweet out, put a message out, just say, look, let's go. And you'll be into it. All right. Right, everyone look after themselves.
If worse comes to worse, just look at it from 40 feet up.
Just take 40 feet back. Back up 40 feet and it'll be fine.
Right. Okay.